This week on Potlatch, the Undersecretary of the Interior, James A. Joseph, speaking to the Alaska Federation of Natives.
I'm a moving man with the necessary urge. Daylight's free, so's the freedom surge. Move over, grab a hold, and come along, babe. Move over, grab a hold, and come along. I'll take you with me if your engine runs, but don't bother me, baby. If you can't come, move over, grab a hold, and come along, babe. Move over, grab a hold, and come along. Plane or bus, train or car, wherever it is, it's not too far. Move over, grab a hold, and come along, baby. Move over, grab a hold, and come along. Come on, baby, take my hand. Those who are scared are the also-ran. Move over, grab a hold, and come along, babe. Move over, grab a hold, and come along. With Bobby and Joni singing so bright, who needs a compass with all of that light? Move over, grab a hold, and come along, babe. Move over, grab a hold, and come along. There's a whole new world to build out there. Let's go see it and find out where. Move over, grab a hold, and come along, babe. Move over, grab a hold, and come along. White man, black man, yellow man, red, all gonna do what Lincoln said. Move over, grab a hold, and come along, babe. Move over, grab a hold, and come along. I'm a moving man with the necessary urge. Daylight's free, so's the freedom surge. Move over, grab a hold, and come along, babe. Move over, grab a hold, and come along.
The music of Peter Lafarge. Here now, the Undersecretary of the Interior, James A. Joseph, speaking to the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention on November 12, 1977.
The continuing challenge, both for Alaskan Natives and for this administration, is to foster the kind of partnership the founding fathers of our nation envisioned in their efforts to form a more perfect union, to establish justice, and to promote the general welfare. As you have demonstrated in working with the Department of the Interior, the administration, and the Congress, the American Revolution was not so much an event in our nation's past as it is a process of fulfillment which leads into the future. The Alaskan Native Claims Settlement Act is an outstanding example of your sensitivity to what the fulfillment of our national goals requires. You have been most convincing in your presentations to the department. You have lobbied effectively in the Congress, and you have demonstrated exceptional skill in using the judicial system to block unwanted actions and to guarantee justice. One of the reasons you have been so successful is the fact that you have tried to resolve conflicts rather than intensify them. In a time when many Americans feel no responsibility to propose alternatives to the policies they criticize, the Alaskan Natives have shouldered the full responsibility of advocating alternatives to policies they dislike. One of my favorite writers, Albert Camus, defined a true rebel as one who knows on behalf of what he's rebelling altogether as much as against what he's rebelling. I have personally been pleased to find that your representatives know not only what they're against, but also what they are for. We in the Department of the Interior appreciate this, and we are committed to maintaining the good working relationship which has been established with you and your leaders. Today, I want to give you some insight into the philosophy of the Department and our approach to our responsibilities for Indian affairs. When Cecil Andrus was chosen to be the Secretary of the Interior, in the Carter administration, he said that one of his first goals was to create the position of Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Indian Affairs. Last month, Forrest Garrard, whom you met this morning and who is a Blackfeet Indian, was sworn in as the first Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs. The occasion was historic, not simply because it symbolized the changing of the guard in the Bureau of Indian Affairs, but because it reflected the beginning of a new era in the Department of the Interior. The days in which the BIA was in, but not an equal part of, the department is over. In the past, the Commissioner of Indian Affairs had to report to an Assistant Secretary and work through that Assistant Secretary to form policy or get needed action by the department. And the Assistant Secretary to whom he reported in the past had many other responsibilities. In other words, a spokesman for the Indian interest was not directly in the policy-making loop. Now we have included a spokesman for Indian Affairs in that loop. Forrest Garrard now sits in the highest councils of the department, where his major responsibility is to represent the best interests of Indians when program and policy decisions are being made. We are fortunate that we have a Secretary of the Interior who fully recognized this need and who feels so strongly about the trust responsibilities of the department. We are also fortunate that Forrest Garrard was available to become Assistant Secretary at this moment in history. The process by which Secretary Garrard was selected, nominated, and confirmed represents a decisive break with the past, a new era in which we hope the future of Indians will largely be determined by Indian people. In selecting Assistant Secretary Garrard, for several months I consulted with Indian leaders to gather recommendations, and it was their expressions of support for and confidence in Forrest Garrard which led to his nomination by the President. Now that Mr. Garrard is on board, one of his first concerns is to deal with the long-standing and long-ignored organizational problems within the BIA itself. The objective is to come up with an effective organization to carry out the trust responsibilities of the federal government, to strengthen tribal governments, and to deliver services either through BIA programs or through self-determination mechanisms initiated by the tribes. To accomplish this, a task force with representatives from the NCAI and NCCA, as well as from the business and nonprofit communities, as well as from Alaska Natives, the Department of the Interior, and the BIA, will soon be reviewing the organizational structure. It also will consider recommendations of the American Indian Policy Review Commission and other studies relating to the way the Bureau meets its responsibilities. This is to be a comprehensive study, and the changes ought to be fundamental, not just cosmetic. But we also emphasize that changes will be instituted in an orderly fashion to minimize any hardship upon established relationships between Indians and BIA offices or on BIA employees. Now let me shift gears for a minute and focus on how the department views its responsibilities in regard to Alaska Natives in particular. We have a unique responsibility, a unique opportunity in regard to the human resources of Alaska. The relative isolation of the Alaskan Native from an industrialized society and the relative isolation from centers of government have enabled you to maintain some of the values and traditions you consider important. While Indian Affairs policy of the government swung erratically from combat to neglect, from stifling paternalism to irresponsible termination, the Alaskan native was somewhat protected by geography. This administration intends to treat Native Americans with the dignity and respect which is their due. In my letter to the Secretary of State regarding the decision of the International Whaling Commission to ban the subsistence harvest of bowhead whales, I pointed out the serious impact this action would have on Alaskan Eskimos. I noted in that letter, and I quote, "Resource protection for the bowhead and cultural protection for the Alaskan Eskimo are mutually consistent goals, and in fact cannot be achieved separately. Both the Eskimo culture and the bowhead whale are endangered, and we in the Department of the Interior would like to see them both preserved." Although the decision and the final analysis of the United States government did not reflect the exact approach recommended by the Alaskan Eskimos and the Department of the Interior, we are still working with other agencies to find ways to ensure that the hunt can continue. The desire for a quota is a difficult problem. It is my hope that some sort of numerical proposal based on need will be acceptable until we have better scientific information. We have been working closely with Eskimo leaders, and we appreciate the cooperative spirit, the constructive thoughts, and the depth of understanding which they have shared with us. We in the Department of the Interior have no jurisdiction per se over whaling, but we will continue to be an advocate for Eskimos among those agencies which do have this responsibility. The issue of subsistence, as with so many other issues in Alaska, is not one which can be resolved by applying across-the-board policies followed in the lower 48 states. Some creative ideas have been suggested. Clearly, we must have cooperation of native, state, and federal agencies to achieve a system which will enable residents of Alaska to continue their traditional use of subsistence resources. As we made clear on our position on bowhead whales, the cultural and nutritional values associated with centuries-old indigenous populations cannot be ignored or subjugated to other concerns. In Alaska, we have an opportunity to avoid the mistakes of the past. The federal government has a unique opportunity to preserve rather than destroy the cultural integrity of its native people. Alaskan natives also have a genuine opportunity for self-determination. In my capacity as Undersecretary of the Interior and as chairman of the Alaska Policy Group within the department, I intend to do everything in my power to enhance that opportunity. I intend to foster sensitivity to Alaskan native rights and needs among the department's field staff in Alaska as well as at the Washington level. I will encourage recognition of the fact that indigenous populations are an integral part of the ecosystems in which they live. I will strongly support protection of cultural and other subsistence values in domestic law and regulation, as well as in international treaties and agreements. Among the most complex and controversial issues that link the Alaskan native to the federal government, none is more important or symbolic of that relationship than is the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. We believe that it is a matter of trust to ensure that Alaska natives receive the full settlement intended by ANCSA in the most expeditious possible fashion. We intend to make the department's technical resources available to Alaskan Natives in such areas as resource development, resource protection, environmental protection, and subsistence protection. It is important for me to point out that we view ANCSA as a Native statute. It is intended to promote Native well-being. It is an historic agreement which in essence represents a contract between Alaskan Natives and their government. Those of us currently charged with its implementation believe it must be fully and expeditiously honored. There is much to indicate that the early years of that implementation did not succeed in carrying out the bargain. But I believe that very soon we can reverse this history and recapture the meaning and spirit of that settlement. Assistant Secretary Guy Martin, an Alaskan whom you know, told Congress recently that the Settlement Act is first and foremost a Native bill providing for a full and fair settlement of legitimate claims. He was speaking for all of us in the department in saying this, indicating that this is your settlement, primarily a Native settlement, rather than a land act. It is also subject to the guidance of the trust responsibilities of the federal government. In this spirit, then, the Department of the Interior is undertaking a thorough review of the implementation of the Settlement Act, dealing forthrightly with the most complex and controversial provisions of the law. This review, being guided by Assistant Secretary Martin, has the participation, support, and confidence of your leaders, and we do not intend to violate that confidence. The review also has the constructive support and participation of the state, the Land Use Planning Commission, the Alaska Congressional Delegation, and others. The central thrust of our effort in this review is the conveyance of Native land selections as soon as possible. All issues which affect this objective, even the tough ones like easements, are getting detailed attention. Ultimately, a wide range of issues affecting ANCSA implementation, including better federal management of the settlement, manageability, the 3E land, land exchange, overselection, interim management, and others, will come to my personal attention and the Secretary's. By the first of the year, following full discussion with your leaders, the department will be prepared to take a broad range of actions to finally make the settlement a reality. The desire of Alaskan Natives to speed land conveyance perhaps goes hand in hand with the accelerating interest in self-determination. There is more interest in self-determination in this state than in any other area if we use the contracting of bureau programs as a barometer. In addition, Alaskan Natives are taking advantage of the Section 104 self-determination grants to help improve village and tribal governing capability. Although the progress being made in Alaska is good, there are several administrative problems to be resolved. One of these currently being addressed is that of tribal definition. The department has not yet taken a position on bills which are under consideration in the Congress. We are reviewing the testimony at hearings held in Washington on September 29th and a series of hearings held throughout the state of Alaska this past week. Our primary concern at this time is that we do not revoke the tribal status of an entity and at the same time make it easier to contract bureau programs. Ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to coming up to Alaska not only to see this beautiful state, but to see self-determination in action. The theme of this convention, does one way of life have to die so another can live, is especially appropriate for this time and this place. The answer to this question, and I'm speaking not only for myself, but for the Secretary, is a resounding no. One way of life does not have to die so another can live. The unbreakable strand which holds this country together is not common lifestyle. It does not matter whether we live in crowded tenements, whether we live in cozy suburbia, whether we live in tents or igloos or in houses made of bricks, sticks, stones, ice, hides, or steel. It does not matter whether we eat beef, dried fish, whale, enchiladas, rice, or whatever. It is not common language or custom or dress. What binds us together is a love of freedom and a respect for our fellow man, regardless of how different he or she may seem to be. It is what President Carter has referred to as our human rights, and that is what is most important. But we all know that to resolve our problems by simply agreeing that one way of life does not have to die so that another can live is not enough. In the past, this land we now call Alaska was so vast and so rich and so sparsely populated that there was indeed plenty for all, plenty of space and plenty of resources to accommodate various styles of life. There was relative isolation from the influence of growing population, growing industrialization, growing demand for material goods. Today, a world growing short of natural resources and open spaces look with envy upon Alaska. Alaska natives who only a generation ago had little concern for what happened outside their villages now find that they must be concerned about what is occurring throughout the world. Your culture has changed, some of it perhaps for the good and perhaps some for the bad. There will be more changes, and how you deal with it will be the test of survival for your way of life. You can retreat or isolate yourselves from the encroachment of population and technology. We have in our D2 proposal tried to protect and conserve a good deal of the most precious wildlife, cultural, and scenic resources. But we have not attempted to lock up this state, and we see that rapid growth is inevitable. Your challenge as leaders of Alaskan Natives is to seek ways of preserving the best of your culture while benefiting from the best of the modern technology. Whether your rich heritage lives depends to a great deal upon your determination and your wisdom in preserving your culture. I want you to know that you have friends in this cause. The Department of the Interior is committed to be your advocate. We believe in self-determination because we believe in you. Our trust responsibility means that we serve you and we work with you. In today's complex world, survival involves interdependence. No man, no culture, no nation is an island. To solve our problems, we must work together. As I indicated at the outset, we value the close working relationship of the department with the Alaskan Federation of Natives. We want to maintain and enhance that relationship. Many years ago, An Athenian philosopher was asked, when will there be justice in Athens? His reply was that there will be no justice until those who are not injured are as indignant as those who are. The implication for us is that we will need allies for the struggle ahead. These are difficult times for Indian affairs, but I want you to know that we in the Department of the Interior are just as indignant about injustice as those who are the direct victims. We are pleased that some Indian land thought to be worthless is now turning out to be very valuable. You may count on us to work with you to ensure that your interest is conserved and protected. We feel that we can do no less. Thank you very much.
The Undersecretary of the Interior, James A. Joseph, speaking to the Alaska Federation of Natives, November 12, 1977. Here now, Joan Baez.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses as the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns his back away. Heaven help the people with their backs against the wall.
Joan Baez, concluding this week's Potlatch. This is Jeff Kennedy.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.